Good morning, everybody. Time to begin. We like to start our services with this greeting Christians have been using for just about forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thanks. Let's bow our head for a quick prayer before we begin, okay? God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that we have this opportunity once again to gather to center our hearts and thoughts on you and the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that as we sing, as we gather around your word and your table, that your spirit would be here, that you would meet with us, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would do your transforming work in us as we submit ourselves to you. So today that's what we do. We open our hearts and our lives up to you. Do with us as you will, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand and let's sing. God, we thank you that you have promised that when we come to you with the humility that was displayed in that last song from Psalm 51, when we come to you asking for forgiveness and asking for you to change us and to wash our sins away and to change our hearts, to wash them clean, to make us new. God, thank you that you've promised when we do this, you answer, you do forgive, you do wash us and make us clean. You do begin that transforming work inside of us. God, today we come to you acknowledging that every single one of us in this room have sinned. We've all pushed away from you. We come to you today humbly acknowledging our need of you and our need of your grace, our need of your mercy. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from unrighteousness. Wash us and make us clean from the muck and the filth and the things that we have rolled around in our lives. Make us new, God. Thank you. Thank you, God, for never giving up on us. Thank you for being so faithful in your love. Thank you that today we can count on you, on your mercy, on your grace. We're looking forward, God, to who we're becoming as we submit ourselves to you, who you are making us into, the person you created us to be. Keep doing that work. Keep speaking to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Let's extend that peace to each other. Shake somebody's hand. Say hello. Welcome someone back from vacation. Just realized I forgot to grab a bulletin up here. Don't have it with me. So everybody get one of those little welcome programs when you walked in. Oh, thank you, Mark. If you got one of those, you know inside there's the little green welcome card. Let you know what's going on around here. These days, the welcome card's a good way for you to let us know if you'd like to be involved with it. Next Sunday, I forgot to tell you about. Next Sunday is the time change Sunday already, I think. Is that right? Good grief, I couldn't believe that. So we're also having our little members meeting in between the services. So it's not a problem for you guys. Next week, this time, if you forget, it'll already be 10 o'clock. You'll show up in time for the 9 o'clock service. It'll already be 10. You can just stick around for the members meeting and for the next service. I really got to warn the people in the next service so they don't miss everything. When we skip forward, that's the chance to miss stuff. So anyway, I'm sure you guys are all the early rising responsible types, so you'll all have changed your clock Saturday night, and it won't be a big deal. But hopefully you'll stick around after the service next week for the brief members meeting. And then 2 weeks from today, we're going to have a lunch together on St. Patrick's Day. So if you'd like to bring something, great. If you'd just like to bring your appetite, that's fine too. We would just love for you to come back for lunch. I know it's awkward when you're a 9 o'clock attender to then turn around and come back for lunch, but we don't have any better way to do it if we're going to have lunch. Lunch at 10 is kind of early. So we'd love to have you join us. This is sitting up here because Bob Rollins had a request. If you guys want to reuse instead of recycle, if you have any plastic or, well, glass work too, but just anything that's, quart size or larger, you can, he'll use it to put popcorn in and sell it when he's out at farmer's markets. Yeah. So if you want to reuse them, you can just bring them here and we'll put them in a bag or something and Bob can pick them up when he's ready for them. So quart size or larger things, he could use them. And that'd be cool. Cool way to help each other out. And then I think there was something else I was going to mention in here, but maybe not. Okay. Maybe I was just going to mention the ashes to fire thing. I think all of you had a chance to grab one of these. If not, there's still some more out on the table out there, the little ashes to fire devotional guides. We are just starting week 3 today. So I know this past Monday, Stacy was talking to me about what she had read that day, and I said, I don't think that's what I read. And she looks down, and she had just read the wrong Monday. So we're just starting week 3 today, and so if that's where you want to hop in, week 3 is where we're hopping in today. Actually, speaking of Stacy, she's going to come and read the scriptures for us this morning. Most of you guys know my wife already. I've been trying to do little introductions for people when they come up. Stacy has been a member of this church for quite a long time, since we started. And the big changes for us, of course, in the last couple of years was Stacy earning her PhD, and then this last summer becoming the superintendent of the Boone Grove school system. So if Dr. Schmidt would be so kind as to read this morning's scriptures for us.
And now we turn serious. a reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples? I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their lives and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God and he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. One of the two. And we must not engage in sexual immorality, as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble, as some of them did, and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. The word of the Lord. Please stand with me for a reading of the gospel. A reading from Luke's gospel, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. After this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all of the people from Galilee? Jesus asked. Is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too. Then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to the gardener, "I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden." The gardener answered, "Sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year and give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down." The word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. I know on Wednesday nights here, we're discussing the things that we've been reading. You're all welcome to join us. Wednesday nights at 6, we usually order some pizza or something. And so if you'd like to join us, if you want pizza, let me know you're coming. RSVP on your welcome card. Or you just show up and we always have a little bit extra. But yeah, please do. I mean, that's why we provided these books for you, so that you can be reading these and so you can be discussing them. Every Sunday, they give you a little devotional thought on the Sundays, on the gospel reading from Sunday. And he's right, it is excellent. He uses the military metaphor. He had grown up in a military area, and so he uses the metaphor of doing an about face to talk about repentance. And that really is the theme throughout the season of Lent that we're in right now. The season that leads us up to Easter is the theme of repentance. This idea that, you know what, we've got to have a change. We've got to have a change of mind and heart. And like you said, it can be an about face. A rearrangement of your life. You were headed down this path, a path that's headed toward death and destruction, and you make a change and say, okay, you know what? God, you're right. I need to face this way. I'm gonna follow you. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to follow you on the path to life, to joy, to peace. It's a complete change of direction. Now, when it's a complete change of life like that, we usually think of that repentance as like it's a sinner getting saved. It's somebody who is turning from a life without God and turning to God. But repentance is supposed to be a part of the life of every believer. I mean, even once you've made that big about face to God, as you go through life, and as the Spirit continues speaking to you, and as you face temptation, you know, I'm guessing your experience has been like mine, where sometimes you find yourself that you're headed toward Christ, but every now and then you find that you've stepped off the path a little bit, and the Spirit maybe starts to poke at you and say, hey, look, this, you're kind of dabbling in something here. You're returning to some temptation that's part of a way of life that you've turned your back on. What's going on? And there's this continual need for repentance in the life of a Christian, in the life of a believer, to continue to reorient yourself toward Christ, to continue to turn away from sin and to turn toward God. This is what these scriptures that we're looking at today all have in common, is this idea of making this turn, and that we have opportunities. We have kind of these windows of opportunity to do this in. The passage from Isaiah that's there on the front of your notes, the first one that she read, down in verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously." As you've got it, there's an opportunity right now, he says, while you can find him. Call on him while he's near. He's urging them not to put this off, not to wait until some other time. You know, the Apostle Paul in the passage from Corinthians says, look, we've got these examples given to us of what's happened to others in the past, looking back at the story of the people of Israel and how sometimes they did fail. Sometimes they faltered. And that journey through the wilderness, as we've talked about recently, you know, he's recounting that part of the story. Like, hey, these were believers. They were following God. They were following the cloud. They'd been through the Red Sea, the parting of the sea. They'd crossed on dry land. They were following God, but they weren't immune to temptation. They weren't immune to failure. And so some of them craved evil things. Some of them worshipped idols. Some of them engaged in sexual immorality, and talks about some of the different things that they got caught up in, and it led to their deaths and to their destruction. Do you remember last week we were looking at this passage from a little bit later in Luke chapter 13, where Jesus is looking over Jerusalem and Hey, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long I've longed to gather you together like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't let me. You know, the heartbreak of God when his people push away, because he can see where that path heads. He can see that when we turn to sin, when we push away from God, we're pushing ourselves back onto this path that leads to destruction. And that breaks the heart of God. And so he gives us warnings. He gives us examples that we read in Scripture. Boy, have you ever had that happen to you? You're reading through Scripture and all of a sudden you realize, hey, I can connect with these people, you know? And sometimes, sadly, the people we're connecting with are the people that are screwing things up, you know? And that's what Paul's saying is, hey, if you're connecting with, if you can see an echo of yourself in their story, you know, or an echo of their story in your lives, you know, it's like, let's learn from their example. Let's not just learn the hard way again ourselves. Let's not just repeat history. Let's learn from it. So there's a reason why these stories got recorded and got handed down to us, so that we can learn from them. You know, it's not all good examples here in Scripture. He says, look, we can learn from the bad examples too. When we see somebody heading down a bad path and we see the pain and the destruction that it leads to, he's encouraging them, hey, let's learn from these guys. Let's learn from their example. These things happened as examples for us, written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. He concludes the passage that we read, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. I mean, so much of this is written really to people who are believers. This isn't primarily the passages we're looking at today aren't written to people, those dirty, rotten sinners out there that, oh, I wish so-and-so was here because they really need to hear this about repentance. You know, they really need to hear about how they need to change their lives and turn to God. You know, so much of this is written to us saying, look, be careful. Be careful. Continue to have this humble heart. Continue to have a heart sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And if the Spirit is saying to you, look, you need to repent. Look, you need to turn from that sin. You need to reorient your life toward God. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to the Spirit's leading. Because we don't know how long we have. We don't know how wide our window of opportunity is. From the stories there that Paul was looking back to, that he recounts in that passage from 1 Corinthians, you know, he said, on one occasion, people died from snake bites. You know, on another occasion, there were 23,000 that died in one day. He said, we never know what's going to happen to us, do we? We never know when our window of opportunity is going to slam shut. So he's saying, don't put this off. Don't waste time. Don't wait around. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not the best with deadlines. They mess with me sometimes. Sometimes I mess with them. Sometimes I really need deadlines. We've told stories about this before. Stacy gave me a deadline for asking her to marry me. I mean, she just knew if I didn't have a deadline, I wasn't ever going to get around to it. And so she told me, if we're not engaged by the end of February, you know, let's do something else, you know. What's that? You're out. That's right. And thankfully, it was a leap year, so I had a one-day extension, February 29th. Push it right up to the end, 11:59 p.m. on February 29th. I asked her to marry me. But actually, I think I probably got a couple minutes extension, because that's when we got out of the car and I knelt down and read you the partially finished poem. Was at 11:59. It was probably 12:01 by the time I'd asked you. But good grief. Yes, we bought a toilet last fall to replace one in our house, and it's still sitting in the box. I have not removed the old one and put the new one in. Thank you for bringing that one up, Stacy. Okay. Anyway, the one that's there still works, okay? It's not like we don't have a working toilet in our house. Anyway, what I was going to say was that I've never been one that likes to pressure people. You know, I don't stand up here and say, you guys have to do this right now. You know, and so it's a little awkward for me when I get to a passages like the ones we've got that are saying, hey, do this now. You know, don't put this off. Well, there's one time but just pressure tactics in general, I don't like. I don't think any of us like being pressured. You know, you get that phone call, it's a special offer, and you got to act today. You know, and if you act now, we throw in another one for free, or, you know, whatever, like the TV commercials. Or if you act now, then you get this bonus. We went to some timeshare thing one time, and, you know, they sit you down, and they talk about how wonderful it'll be you buy this timeshare, and you can go on vacation and all this stuff, and how much you guys do spend on vacation. Oh, this will be so much better. And, you know, it was ridiculous, but we we bought it. After we sat there for a long time, we bought this timeshare, and as we're driving home, we're thinking, oh, we never should have done that. We're not going to want to do it. No, we're not going to want to. Unfortunately, there was like, you had a certain window that you could call up and say, forget it, we changed our minds, you know, and give us some money, you know, and we got out of it. But it was a pressure thing, you know. It's like, you got to act now before you get up from this table. You got to decide if you're going to do this or not. I've never liked that. It always seems manipulative. It always seems, and so I'm not going to sit here and hold you here until you, you know, make some change, or until you, you know, we're not going to sing a song 100 times until you finally get up and, you know, whatever. But I don't want us to miss the urgency that's here. I mean, none of us really know how long we've got. None of us know how wide our window of opportunity is to turn from sin and to turn toward God. Jesus made reference to the same idea. I think that's the point of the stories about the people who were killed, murdered, the Galileans who were murdered, and they were offering sacrifices in the temple, and the story about the tower that fell on the people. On the one hand, I really like that bit, because Jesus says, do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Is that why they suffered? Not at all. You know, and these 18 people who died when the tower fell on them, were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. You know, sometimes we do buy into this karma idea that says, hey, if something bad happens to you, it must be because you did something wrong. You know, and I know that that's plagued some of you when you've gone through difficulty in your life and you think, well, what did I do to deserve this? What did I do? God, what did I do that I'm going through all this, or that I'm having this happen again, or you know, those kinds of emotions, those kinds of feelings. Jesus is saying, look, these people didn't suffer because they were worse than the people around them. It's not that, that's just not how the world works. The whole book of Job in the Old Testament is, that's what the point of that book, it's why that book is in our Bibles, I believe, is to counter some of the other things. Because it's true that you read through Deuteronomy, and before the people enter the promised land, and God's saying, look, you obey me, you'll prosper. You disobey me, you won't. You'll suffer. God lays that out, but that doesn't hold true 100% of the time. And that's where Job is in there. That's what Job's friends spend the whole time doing, trying to persuade him. Job has all these terrible things happen to him, loses his family, loses his health, loses his wealth. He's sitting there just wanting to die, and his friends come along, and they do a great job mourning with him while they, for a week, not saying anything, just being with him. And then they open their mouths and wreck it, and the whole big, long section of Job is them trying to persuade him, Job, you must have done something pretty terrible to deserve all of this. All these bad things happen. You must have been, man, just repent of your sin, would you, so God can start blessing you again. And Job says, I've got a clean slate. Every time I've messed up, I've already turned my back on him. I wasn't doing anything to deserve this. And he's angry with God, and he's telling his friends to shut up. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know me. You don't know what my life. You know, and they're saying, but we know this is how the world works. If this terrible thing happened, you must have been a pretty bad sinner to lose it all like this. And finally, it takes to the very end of the book, God showing up and saying to Job's friends, no, Job, what Job said was right. What you've said about me isn't right. That's not how things work. Of course, at the same time, what God says to Job is basically, who do you think you are to understand how things work? I'm God. I'm the one who's, he says basically like you did at the end of Isaiah's passage that Stacy read for us. He says, just as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Like, you're not going to get it. Okay? And I'm not explaining it to you. Unfortunately, that's the reality that we live in so much of the time. Things happen to us and we think, why, God? This would be so much easier if you would just give me a clue as to the good that you're going to bring out of this. Please. But so much of the time, we just get back something like this. Hey, sorry, it's not, you're not going to get it. You're not going to understand. I try to explain it to you, but your head would explode or something. I don't know what would happen if God tried to explain it to us. And so he doesn't. And we suffer. And Jesus says here, look, it's not because they were worse than anybody else that they suffered. These things just happen. But then he continues with it and says, look, and you'll perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. Unless you repent, you'll perish too. I think Jesus is kind of using these examples as kind of like Paul was using the examples of the people in Scripture. He's saying, look, you don't know how long your window of opportunity is going to stay open. You could get squished by a tower. You could get killed by the Romans. You know, repent while you have the chance so that you don't perish. Repent. Turn from your sin. Turn to God. Now, a tower still might fall on you, but you've turned to God and you've been faithful, and we have confidence from the promises of Scripture that we'll be with him forever, that death won't be the end, you know. Jesus tells the story about the fig tree there in the garden, and the gardener keeps coming. He's like, hey, there's no fruit. Chop this thing down. It's not doing anything. And the gardener, I guess that was the owner, the gardener comes in and says, hey, just one more chance. Leave it another year. We'll take care of it. We'll do our best to see if we can get this thing to produce some fruit. And if we get figs next year, great. If not, then you can cut it down. You know, sometimes we get an extension. Sometimes God is patient with us. And in the workings that are mysterious behind the curtain that we don't get to see, you know, sometimes God says, you know what, you're going to get another chance to turn to me. You're going to get another chance. You're going to get another year, you know, like the fig tree did here. I'll give you an opportunity to turn. But that happens behind the curtain. We usually don't get to see that. For all we know, we're approaching the end of our extension already. We don't know how long we have. None of us do. And so Jesus and Paul and Isaiah repeatedly today are saying, please, turn to me while you have the chance. Please, repent. Don't put this off. Don't wait another year. Don't wait another day. Don't think, you know what? I've kind of got this thing managed, you know. I know that there's a sin I need to deal with in my life, but I've kind of got it managed, you know. It's not creating any big ripples right now, and nobody really knows this is going on. And I've kind of kept it hush-hush, and nobody really knows it's happening. Well, God knows it's happening. You know, we're still breaking the heart of God as we push away from him, and God can see where this thing is leading us. God sees that every time we push away from him and turn to sin, that we're turning down a path that's destructive. Now, sure, maybe most of your life is going great, but you're killing something with that sin that you're allowing to linger. Some part of your life is dying there. And that's where, again, I feel like Isaiah gives us a picture into the heart of God. When he says in the beginning of Isaiah's passage, anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, this isn't something you got to pay for. You don't have to earn your way into God's good graces. He's just giving this away. Anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? I feel like God says that about us sometimes. Why are you wasting your energies pursuing satisfaction in that sin, whatever it might be? Why are you chasing that? It's not going to satisfy. It's not going to help. I feel like we see that breaking heart of God there. He said, right here in front of you, I'm offering you free, good, wonderful life, and you keep on chasing these things that do you no good. You're wasting yourself spending this money. You're wasting your life on this sin. He says, listen to me and you'll eat what is good. You'll enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. God has an amazing life for you and for me. He really does. A life that, yes, will have its struggles. And a life that, yes, will have its challenges. But it's a satisfying life. It's a fullness of life. It's a life Jesus described as like a spring welling up from within us. It's living water. It's alive. It's in motion. It's abundant. It's free. This unfailing love that he's promised. The power of God at work in our lives. It's what God wants for you and for me. Now is the time. Today, God has you here. God has your attention. And I'm not going to say, if you don't come forward today, you know, you're going to be like that guy in Florida. A sinkhole is going to open up under your bed and swallow you up. Did you guys hear about that? That was crazy. Guy in Florida. Yeah, a sinkhole opened up under this house, and his brother's in another bedroom next door. All he hears is like, ah! And there's a big crashing sound, and he goes in, and there's this sinkhole, and the bed's like sticking out, and his brother's buried, and they can never find, you know, he's just gone. That's crazy. So, anyway, they did find him, and okay. I read about it the day it happened, and they was like, he's down there somewhere. I'm not going to say it's going to happen to you tonight. You know what I'm saying? You know, but none of us know. You know, we really don't know. Well, just this last week, had another one of those times where I'm driving down the road and I'm distracted for a second and look up and the guy in front of me has put his brakes on unexpectedly. You know, we never know what's going to happen around us. We don't know how wide our window is of opportunity. So let's not put it off. You know, God's given us a window. Perhaps that's what this season of Lent could be for us, is this window of opportunity for us to be reflecting. I mean, that's why Christians have done this down through the ages, this season, a season to be reflective, a season to think about the reality of our lives, to take an honest assessment of who we are and what we're doing. Am I living a life pleasing to God? Am I living a life that honors Him? Are there areas of my life that need to be realigned? Are there sins that I need to repent of and turn my back on and do an about face? And are there areas of my life that I need to turn back to God and ask for forgiveness, ask for His transforming work? Speaking of the devotional today that Bob mentioned, I'll skip to the end of it. You'll get to hear how he wraps it up as he's talking about the about face. He says, let's become a community or a company of the committed and together listen to the Spirit's direction. And he just gives some examples. Do we fail to search the Scriptures? About face. Are we forgetting to pray? About face. Is our stewardship poor? About face. Do we possess a bitter spirit? About face. Are our habits undisciplined? About face. Do we gossip? About face. Is agape love, this selfless love, missing from our fellowship? About face. Are we neglecting our mission? About face. When we're together as the Church of Jesus and begin again to obey the commands of the Spirit, when we do an about face, well, it's a beautiful thing to watch. That's that song that we sang earlier, beautiful. He makes all things new. Beautiful. When we turn from sin and turn to God, He makes a beautiful thing out of our lives. It's a beautiful thing to see a life transformed. It's a beautiful thing to see when that part of your life you've been clinging to, that sinful habit, whatever it is that you've been holding on to, when you do it about face, when you finally turn from that, when you finally turn to God and say, God, please, I want you to have all of me. It's a beautiful thing then to see what God can do with a human life totally devoted to Him, totally given to Him. Listening to His leadership, allowing His Spirit to work. If you do read this week, we're going to keep reading. They've had us reading through the letter to the Galatians, and we're going to get to some stuff this week about the choices that we make, about are we following the desires of our sinful nature, or are we following the Spirit, and the kind of fruit that is born in our lives when we follow the Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience, all of that comes alive in us, that's produced in us, when we decide to follow the Spirit and not follow our sinful desires. Now is our opportunity. Today is our opportunity to turn from sin, to turn to God. I want us just to take a moment. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I want to take a moment to prayerfully invite God to speak to us. God, is there something in my life that needs to change? Is there something that as you look at my life, as you look at my attitudes, as you look at my relationships, the way I spend my time, the way I spend my money, the things I'm committed to, God, as you look at my life, at all of me, is there anything in me that I need to turn my back on today? That I need to turn away from this sin and turn toward you? God, we're inviting you today to make that clear to us. God, we thank you for your ongoing transforming work. Help us to pay attention to your Holy Spirit, that as you convict us of sin in our lives, that you give us the strength and the courage to turn our back on sin, to repent, to turn toward you, to receive forgiveness, to receive cleansing, and the power to live a different way, power to live a life that honors you. God, you invite us into such a rich, abundant life, this relationship with you, with your love alive in our hearts, your power at work in our lives. God, help us this week. Help us today to say yes to you, to repent, to have humble hearts, to turn from sin and to turn toward you. Change our minds. Change our hearts. Change our lives. Thank you, God, for giving us this opportunity today. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The kids are going to be joining us. Oh, they're here now. This is the first Sunday of the month. And so if you've had kids back there, they're joining you to, and you get to decide if you want them to participate in communion or not. The band's going to lead us in a song, and we're going to celebrate communion together. You're invited to come as we sing this song, to take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice and eat it as a way of giving thanks, as a way of remembering the great price that was paid for our freedom, for our forgiveness. It's this invitation that Isaiah had made. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, take your choice. Come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you'll find life. This is the love of God, the invitation of God to all of us. We remember in this moment of communion the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ given for us, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the transformation of our lives. Let's give him thanks and let's celebrate today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for meeting us here, sharing your life and your spirit with us. We depend on your grace as we turn from sin and turn toward you, that you will forgive, that you will empower, that you will help us to live a new kind of way. God, I thank you for the help you're going to give us this week as we face those temptations. You give us the strength. You don't let those temptations be too strong. You give us a way out. You give us the power that we need to live our life for you. I thank you that you give us each other, that we can encourage each other in this, that we can pray for each other in this. Thank you, God. Thank you for the new life that you're calling us into. I'm excited to see what you're going to do in us and through us as your spirit is alive in us. Thank you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we all take off, if they were here, they would be standing up right now and sharing it with you. I got a great call Saturday morning, actually, from Matt Sturmer. Some of you know that Matt's wife, Georgianne, has been in the hospital the last couple of weeks. She'd had a tooth infection that got an abscess, getting so it was swelling her throat closed. They had to intubate her. They had to do surgery at the hospital. She'd been in the hospital for a couple of weeks in ICU. And they were thinking, the last time they'd tried to take the tube out, her throat had closed up. And they thought, okay, we can't do that. And so this past Friday, Saturday, they were supposed to do put a tracheotomy in and maybe even a feeding tube, and it was going to be another couple of weeks. Well, and Matt had been getting increasingly discouraged by all the stuff that their family has gone through. And so I know some of us have been praying. I know I'd been praying this past week, God, please, just would you please have mercy on them? Would you please do something unexpected? And he called me Saturday morning saying, hey, do you believe in miracles? Because Friday night her breathing tube had gotten dislodged and they'd had to remove it. And they were all on pins and needles thinking, okay, if her throat closes up, we're going to have to do some kind of an emergency thing here. And it didn't close up. And when I saw her Saturday morning, she was doing fine. She made it through the night great. And I was looking forward to going home soon. So they were extremely excited about God coming through for them in an unexpected way. I don't know if it's miraculous or not. I'm not a medical doctor. I just know the doctors weren't expecting it to happen. So very excited for God answering that prayer. And I don't know. Is there anybody else that's got something, an answer to prayer you want to share real quick before we all walk out of here? Just in case?
I think it's Marcus and Jones.
Me too. I know. And we continue to pray for Joan's kidneys to kick in and get their act together so she can quit going to dialysis.
Angela's doing good in school full time now.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Anything else, real quick? Wonderful, wonderful. I don't know, Merlin's sister Jean, yeah, doing well. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, please do, when you have a need in your life, please write it on those welcome cards, share them with us, let us pray for each other so that we can invite God to do his work. Now, again, we know God doesn't always answer everything that we ask him for. You know, Matt still has had, even though Georgianne now is looking like she'll be able to get out of the hospital, Matt still got all of his health issues going on. And we continue to pray for him. But you know what? It's good to thank God for the good things that he does give to us. So let's live this week with hearts open to God. Let's continue to turn from sin and to turn toward him so that his spirit can continue his work in our lives, okay? God bless you. Go in peace.